Amen. If you would grab your Bibles and turn to the book of Psalms with me, if you would. Psalm 27. Psalm 27 is where we'll start this morning. Psalm chapter 27, we'll get right in. Verse number 10, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. The psalmist, of course, David is writing, and the statement he makes is, "If when my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up." And the truth is that you can't have anybody better in your life than the Lord. There's nobody better. And you may look and think, well, my dad wasn't very good and my mom wasn't very good and I had a rough life and all those things. And nowadays, today, they try to use that as the excuse that you can do whatever it is you want to do. You can be a complete failure. You can be a complete and awful and terrible person. And they go back and they go, well, it's because your mom didn't love you enough and your dad wasn't there for you. And you know, all these things. And they make excuses. Well, it's just the way that I was raised. And you know, the real difficulty with that is some of the best men in the Bible had the worst parents in the Bible. One of the greatest kings of Israel had the worst king come before him. That was his father. You sit here and go, well, you know, I mean, it's just the way that I was brought. Well, that's the trouble is you can't blame everything on how you were brought up. And I admit you can have better advantages and different things if you're set up for success by having a good father and a good mother and a good home. That absolutely will set you up better than if you didn't, but it's still not the excuse to not be better. There is no reason that when you got saved and you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you are bound to have the same course that you had before He saved you. And He makes all things new. That's why He does that. He removes the excuses of the past and the failures of the past. All of those things are eliminated the day you found that Jesus Christ saved sinners and you wanted Him to be yours. And you trusted Him as your Savior, and that day wipes out all of the past. It removes it so that you do not have to be holden to that same past. And because of that, God says, hey, you know what I'll do? I can fulfill. Now, we often look at God as God the Father, and we look at Him as a Father, and we consider Him that direction. But the truth is, He can fulfill both halves. You could have zero parents, and God says, I'll take care of both sides. I can fulfill both of those roles. And the father and the mother, he can take care of both. And so then the question comes, well, what kind of a character is a mother? What kind of character is she supposed to have so that when you look at God and you see Him, you don't just see the father side of that, you also get to see the mother's side of that. How does God treat me as a mother and fulfill that role? That'll tell us how we are supposed to be, you know, the moms in this room, how you're supposed to behave yourself, how you can be better, how you can reach, and you can be the best mom you can possibly be to whatever children you're able to work with. Now, what I love about that is that I'm one of those people who I don't believe that just because you gave birth, you're a good mom. I also don't believe that just because you didn't give birth, you can't be a good mom. Some of you have wonderful moms, and they aren't your mother in the sense that they gave birth to you. Some of you have helped raise children and have reached and helped families because their mom wasn't going to be the mother that they needed. You reached in ultimately in the stead of the way that God reaches in. When thy father and thy mother forsake thee, then the Lord will take thee up. And somebody reached in and hopefully was a mom to you. And you find that you can reach to somebody else and you don't have to be a biological mother. to go ahead and fulfill some of those roles. And God does that for us when everybody else has failed us. Every time we look at God, we can find the perfect example. In this life, we don't have perfect examples. Everybody has failures. Everybody comes up short because we're human. But God doesn't fail. So we're going to look at the way God treats us as we think about the way moms care for us. And so we're going to look at the character of a mother today. And so let's go, Lord, in prayer. We're going to kind of see how the Lord does some of those things and how we can see our moms in that same light. And so, Father, we thank you for the day, and I thank you, Lord, you're an amazing God that, Lord, you can do exceeding abundantly above anything we could ask or think. And, Lord, I pray you'd help me to convey what you want me to say today, that Jesus Christ would be praised and honored and glorified. I pray you'd work in our hearts and in our minds. I pray that you'd bring to remembrance, Lord, the things that, Father, we know about you, but also about our own moms. And, Lord, about those that are mothers in here, Lord, they can see these same attributes in themselves. And Lord, maybe even some areas to improve, but Father, I pray they'd be able to see that they're doing a wonderful job as moms, Lord, even if the struggle and the trial and the hardships are many. Father, I pray you'd encourage them to continue to strive for the excellency that you've asked of them. Lord, once again, I do pray you'd bless our day. If someone here does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I pray today would be the day of salvation. They'd call upon the most wonderful, amazing Savior there could ever be. And they'd have their sins forgiven forever. Once again, we pray you'd bless the day. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. But if you would, turn with me over to Matthew chapter 23. You get thinking about Mother's Day and moms and how they are. And there's just certain characteristics that moms always seem to have. You know, Here's this lady, and she could be, you know, my mom is not 100 pounds soaking wet, right? I still will not mess with her. That's just how it is. You go ahead in Matthew chapter 23, and you find the Lord Jesus Christ. He's looking over the city of Jerusalem, and he's lamenting some things. And he says in verse 37, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not." And I got thinking about that. He's talking about the mother hen and bringing that brood of chicken, right, get them under the wings and kind of bring them in. And that area is an important area. It's a great place of safety and care. When you're outside of that, there's no care and there's no protection outside of that area. And the thing you find out about a mom is that she's just caring. She cares. She wants to protect and she wants to provide and she wants to give and she wants to do. And there's nobody like her that wants to protect the way that she protects. You know, you can think about it like this. Your dad will be there and he ought to be able to, right? We think of the guy, right? He's the protector. But you go ahead and get between a mom and her children, and you find out that mom is a great protector. I don't really like being in that spot. That's not a good spot to be. Husbands, don't tell me you've never stepped in the middle between there. And they look at you like, what are you doing to my kid, right? It's your kid too, right? But you're like, wait a minute, what do you mean by that? You go ahead and punish the little brat that's not doing right, right? Say, who are you talking about? Uriah. Amen. She looks at you like, did you have to be that harsh? You're like, yes, he disobeyed me for the fourth time in a row. Yeah, I'm going to be that harsh today. He needed it. But what's she thinking? Well, I want to protect him. Now, we know that you have to bring punishment, and we'll talk about that here shortly. But the truth is, right, sometimes their care and their compassion is so great that they want to protect more. And there's going to be a balance to this, and I'll get to that in a moment. But their protection against any outside enemy is unbelievable. They want to make sure that their children are safe. They want to make sure that they're cared for. They want to make sure that they're protected. They want to make sure that everything in their life is provided so that they don't have to worry about it. Isn't that the Lord in our lives? Doesn't He safeguard us all the time? In Samuel, He's our shield. He's our high tower in Psalm. He talks about Him being our rock and our fortress and our deliverer. Over and over again. You know what one of the greatest characteristics of God for us is? The fact that we are protected by Him all the time. We always seem to be sheltered behind Him. He's always reaching those wings around and going, come on in, I'll take care of it. He's always calling for us to stay close. Say why? Because the closeness brings protection. It's that care and that concern. It's that check on to find out, hey, can I provide for you? What do you need? What is there that I can do? Can I give you more protection? Okay, you got protection, you've got safety, you've got security. Okay, is there anything else you need? Isn't that moms doting on their children? We think about it that way, right? They're always like, is there anything else you need? Can I get you a drink? Can I get you more food? Can I get you? You know, one of the hardest things for me with my mom is she never stops serving on everybody else. I'm like, Mom, just sit down. I know how to get a drink. It's my house. You're at my place. I can go get my own drink. I don't need you to go do that. Why are we doing this? Say what? Because they just want to give. They want to provide. They want to take care of all those things. And the Lord in our lives, you know what He does constantly? He's a constant of how can I provide? Amen. How can I protect? How can I take care of you? How can I make sure? And He always makes sure every need is met. Now, thankfully, He doesn't give us every want. Come on. And moms don't give you every want. But they do give you every need. They'll go without so that you can have. That's always been a constant of a good mom. She'll gladly give and give and give and not take for herself. That's the mom. Say, what's God? God just gives and gives and gives. So He can protect and He can provide. He just wants to care for you. When nobody else cares, He cares. When nobody else wants to hear about your day, He wants to hear about your day. When nobody else knows how you're feeling and nobody else, you can't really talk to Him, He wants to know. When you feel like everything's coming down and the world is crushing you like a tin can, He goes, come see me. I'll take care of you. You can come cast your cares upon me because I care for you. What a wonderful God. That's what He wants to be. And moms, you know you're just like that. You don't care if everything else is going wrong for you. What's wrong? What's going on with you? It's their need above your need. Isn't that all what God does all the time? He cares more about your needs than He does about His own. That's a mom. That's a constant of every mom that I know. They would rather give everything that they have than take anything from their children. You know, you get to Proverbs chapter 31, and that woman that you find, and we won't read the whole passage, we could do that, we'd spend all day talking about Proverbs 31 if we wanted to find that virtuous woman and start talking about her. And you go down that passage, you know what you find out about her? I'm just going to kind of sum up a few things. You know what you find out? Find out that she provides clothing. She provides food. She provides money as an income. She goes ahead and works hard to make sure everybody's provided for. She is up before everybody else and in bed after everybody else is down. She is a constant of making sure everything is done so that nobody else had anything else to do. Now, she may give a task out, and she may have you working, and she may have you helping, and she may have... That's not what I'm talking about. I don't mean your kids shouldn't do anything. Amen. They ought to do things and help out. But at the end of the day, when she gets done with the day, she looks around and says, everything's all set. Bedtime. And then she gets up in the morning, and says, okay, let's get everything ready so we can go. She's the constant of that. She is the one who is providing and making sure everything is provided for and ready and cared. Why? Because she cares that her family is taken care of. It's the care of the mother. And it's different for us, gentlemen. Well, I provide. I go and I get the paycheck and I go and I work and I do and I get it. Yeah. Yep, we do. Amen. If you don't work, get to work. Gentlemen, get to work. But you know the truth is, you wake up in the morning and you go to work. And she stays there and works. And as she's working all these things, and she's prepared everything, and when you get home, you expect some things to be prepared before you get there. Isn't that how that normally works? You expect preparations to have been made before you ever got there so that you can have dinner and you can go ahead and keep doing what you need to get done. You know what she is? She's the one who cares to make sure everything else is done. Now, ladies, you're going to go to the ladies' retreat. You need to pray for me. Actually, you need to pray a lot for Uriah and Elijah. Mayla will be fine. She's too adorable. But the boys, say, what's the difference? The preparation will be different. I tell you right now, for those couple of days, all the preparation in the morning will be different. I will not live up to the expectation of what mom does. Because we don't think like that. We're like, boom, here, done. Get out of here. Go. Go. Just don't die, all right? Elijah, please don't hit your head. Amen? So what's the difference? The care is different. We love them and we care about them and we don't want anything to happen, but let's face it, you're not bleeding. Get back to it. I don't know. What's wrong with you? Get out of here. Why are you crying? Rub some dirt on it. Go back to work. Get it done. It's not the same. Because a mother's care is different. And praise the Lord, when you get into trouble, if maybe you don't have a good mom like that, well, you got the Lord. And you run to Him, and He goes, yeah, come here. I struggle when the boys are whining about things. I don't pick them up and go, oh, you're going to be okay. That's not my style. And Melanie's like, no, you got to calm him down. Just calm him down. He'll be fine. I don't want to calm him down. I want to tell him, get over it and go back to whatever it is you're doing. I don't want to calm anybody down. He's making me not calm. What are you talking about, right? It's totally different. My protection is, nobody's killing you. You're fine. Her protection is, make sure he's okay. Is he okay? Yep, he's fine. Okay, well then, he's fine. Kick him out. Go. Different. Praise the Lord he doesn't do that with us. Because some days, that wouldn't suffice. Some days you know, the Lord every once in a while, I don't know about you, he tells me, get back out. Just come on, you're whining. But boy, there's some days that if that's all he ever did, but instead, he brings us in, squeezes, because we need the mother's care. There's a poem, I think I've read this before, but it says, it's called The Watcher. She always leaned to watch for us, anxious if we were late. In winter by the window and in summer by the gate. And though we mocked her tenderly, who had such foolish care, the long way home would seem more safe because she waited there. Her thoughts were all so full of us she never could forget. And so I think that where she is, she must be watching yet. Waiting till we come home to her, anxious if we're late, watching from heaven's window, leaning on heaven's gates. The constant mom has a constant care. Always watching, always waiting. Always wanting to protect and provide. Always. There she is. Look back at Psalm 145. Psalm 145. We won't read all these verses that we could go to on this, but Psalm 145, this kind of goes along with that. Psalm 145, verse 8, the Lord is gracious. Psalm 145, 8, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. Now, I don't know about you. I was just kind of referencing this a moment ago. The mom has compassion, the dad doesn't. We are not very compassionate, gentlemen. Thank the Lord. That's the compassions. His compassions, they fail not. Over and over again, he is so... You know what he does? He sympathizes, he empathizes with us. It's strange that God, who doesn't need anything, if he were thirsty, he wouldn't ask us for a drink. If he were hungry, he wouldn't ask us for a sandwich. He doesn't want anything from us. He doesn't need anything from us. And if he needed anything, he wouldn't even tell you that he needed it. And then he goes ahead and steps out of the glories of heaven, becomes a man so that he can go ahead and commiserate with us. And he steps down and he sees what sinful man is truly like as he lives in the flesh without sin, but living among sinners, having to endure, having to struggle, actually being hungry and thirsty and tired and broken and ultimately dying for our sins, makes him the all-sufficient, all-compassionate Savior that we know him to be. Amen. He can comfort those who are in any trouble because he's the God of all comfort. His compassions to us reach down beyond any of the normal sufferings that we may have. And when nobody else can understand what you're going through, he reaches down and says, "Don't worry, I understand. I know what it's like to be betrayed, and I know what it's like for people to fail you, and I know what it's like to have nothing, and I know what it's like to die all alone. I know what it's like. I know what it's like, and I'm with you. And I'll reach down, and in my compassion, I'll minister to where you are, and I'll make you try and come up to where I am." How about that? We couldn't reach onto heaven, and God said, "Don't worry, I'll reach down to you. You can't go ahead and you know, understand my side, so I'll come down so I can understand yours." Isn't that God reaching down to us? Isn't that the mom? "Oh, I know, honey. I know. I know how you feel. Yeah, it's tough. Yep, yeah. But it's okay. It'll be okay." It's strange how that phrase right there, coming from a mom, is so different than anybody else. Isn't that weird? I could stand here and I could tell one of the boys, it is absolutely night and day. I could be like, "Buddy, no, it's fine, it's okay." And it means nothing to him. Elijah's still crying this morning. Fell down, hit his leg. He was all, I said, "Buddy, it's going to be okay." And his answer is, "I want mommy." And so Melanie takes him, and you know what? She says, "Buddy, it's fine, you're okay." "Oh, okay." "I just told him it was okay. Think I'm lying to him? What?" But it's different. When mom says I'm okay, that must mean I'm okay. Compassionate. Oh, buddy. Why? Because I know she cares. Dad doesn't care. He's going to tell me to go away either way, right? But not mom. She's going to check and make sure I'm okay. The all-compassionate. Well, let me look at it. I'll kiss it and make it feel better. Why? Compassion. Compassion. Aren't you glad that God has compassion upon you? And those compassions, they fail not. He is full of compassion. Overflowing with the idea of just being compassionate to you and wanting to understand you and wanting to help you and wanting to... What a God. It's strange because you're still in the Old Testament right here and he still says he's full of compassion and Jesus hadn't even come yet. Because he knows he's going to come. He knows he's going to be the compassionate Savior. He wants to save and he wants to do and he wants to be there and he wants to understand and he's going to be. And for you, he's going to be. Always compassionate and always waiting. Look over at Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. I got to hurry up. I got 5 points. I'm only on 3. So I guess I better speed up. Okay. Here we go. Proverbs chapter 6. A mother's care, a mother's compassion, and a mother's counsel. Proverbs chapter 6, look at verse 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee, and when thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. The reproofs of instruction are the way of life. To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman, lust not after her beauty in thine heart, let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. And I'll stop right there. You can keep reading if you want. A mother's counsel. He says, you got the commandment of the father and the law of thy mother. And then when he describes them, he says, the commandment's a lamp and the law is a light. You know, that it's wisdom. You get to the virtuous woman in Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 26, she openeth her mouth with wisdom. You know what she's trying to do? She's trying to give you the right counsel. She's trying to be wise. It's strange, in the Bible, wisdom is always referred to in a feminine. Isn't that strange? Because wisdom is supposed to be attached with the law of thy mother. See, we think about laws and oftentimes people run to the idea of, you know, the law that's on the books. But I often think that we have laws of nature, laws that naturally God has ordained so that the world runs the way that it runs. You know, the sun rising and setting and moon comes up at night, the stars shine, and it's the constants of our life that prove over and over again that God is in control, that everything has order and substance, that everything is lined up just the way that it's supposed to be, and that God is working and working, and those laws that we have determine how everything is going to run, and it doesn't change. It's unchangeable the way that it works. Biblical laws that we have, the idea that the law of sowing and reaping that we talk about, that's a law. God has designed it. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. The constant, whatever you sow, you'll reap. That's a law. You put it in the ground, out it comes. And you get what you plant. You don't get something else. The laws are a constant. The counsel that mom gives are supposed to be constant laws. I know these things to be true. I've learned. So what does that tell you about her? That must tell me that she must be in a Bible. If you're going to give wise counsel, then you'd have to know the pages of a Bible to give it. She opened her mouth with wisdom. You know, a mom's counsel is supposed to be one that can be trusted. It's supposed to be the best advice you can get. Go see mom. She'll tell you what you need. Advice over and over again. Here in the passage, I'll tell you this. Here in the passage, you notice what the advice on this particular point right here is. It's, son, pay attention to what mom said about whatever woman you're talking to. I'll tell you this. They know, and I don't know how they know sometimes. But they know. Say, mom doesn't like her. Then you might want to find out why mom doesn't like her. Because there's probably a reason she doesn't like her. It's probably not just, oh, I just don't like people. There's probably a reason she doesn't like you. And so you know what the problem is? The problem is you don't want to listen. I find it amazing. He says that the commandment is a lamp and the law is light. The lamp is right here. I'm holding the lamp. And the light shines you out for your path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know what the father's job is? Make sure you're doing right today. This is my thought, all right? That's right here now. You say, what's he doing? He's making sure when he knows, hey, right here, this is where you stand, and if your standing is not good, I'm going to take care of it. You say, what's mom? She's pointing you out to how am I going to guide them into the future. That doesn't take the hands off for the men. Don't worry. The truth is, right? The guy's like, if you're in the right place today, tomorrow you'll be in the right place. The mom goes, but as their steps go out further and they leave my house, I want them to still be on the right path when they go. Now, that doesn't mean dad doesn't want them to do right. No, don't take that the wrong way. But dad goes, if you're in my house, right? Gentlemen, our answer is, if you're in my house, it's my rules. When you get out there, you can do what you want. But in here, you're doing mine. Mom goes, yeah, but once they get out there, I want them to do the path I've got them on. I want to give them that light all the way out. The dad does the same. I know that in a sense, but it's the mom who's thinking out that far. They're not looking at just today. They're looking at that long view. Because you know what they want? They want their counsel to keep rolling out in the future. And when they come back, they hear mom's voice. Every kid that grew up in this church that's around my age, you know what we all heard? Do right until the stars fall from heaven. Do right. Mrs. Legault said it. My mom picked that up. A bunch of the ladies have probably used it in their homes. Some of you probably use it today. You say, what is it? That's the voice we hear over and over again. Do you know how many times I hear that? Even still, you know how many times I hear that? Do right. Just do right. Say, what is that? The light. It's not just about today. It's about that voice that comes back, that counsel that's always there, and it's always been there, and it will always be there. That voice that speaks over and over again, and the wisdom that was there, that counsel that doesn't just last you today, it lasts you for your entire life, because it's inescapable what has been put into you, because mom had care and compassion to give you the counsel that would lead you for the rest of your life. Because she was willing to be in a Bible. She was able to give you the truth so that you could grow, so that you could know, so that you could move forward. It's not just on dad's side, moms. Yes, I know he's supposed to lead and he's supposed, but the mom, you know what she's supposed to? She's supposed to make sure it's ingrained every day. That out there, when they're in the world, when they're living their own life and they've got their own house and they've got their own family and they've got their own things, that their life is still walking in the light as he is in the light. That's the goal. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. I don't know why I'm crying this much, all right? I don't. But I am. So I'm fighting through, okay? Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 5, he says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not?" Now, I'm not going to keep reading. I'll pause right there. Chastening. The mother's chastening is different than the father's chastening. It really is. Because oftentimes the dad, you know, he's got the rod and he's gonna bring the chastening. And moms, I think you deserve a rod too. All right, amen. Give the rod out. I think you ought to go ahead and bring chastening. You're allowed. It's not just dad's job, all right? Because dad's not home all the time, amen. Somebody's got to keep them in line, right? You've got to go ahead and bring some punishment and make sure they understand those things. But you know, sometimes the mom's punishment is just that one sheer look of disappointment. Now, anybody who's ever been a child and has had a mom who cares about them and wants them, they give a look that is different than every other look a father could ever give. And it's not a look like, "I'm going to kill you," because there's that look. It's the look of, "I never thought you would do something like that." It's the, "I raised you better than that" look, right? It's the, "I gave you light on that and you have done everything against what I told you to do. And I am so disappointed in you." And that look alone is enough to make a grown man crumble into dust, because he realizes that is how badly he failed. Now, I don't know how this is going to go at a judgment seat of Christ, okay? I don't know what it's going to be like. Not 100%. We don't have all the cool details and everything else. But I do know I'm going to stand in front of God, and Jesus Christ as the judge is going to reward me. And you know what I wonder? I wonder if part of the judgment of God, because you're face to face now, is if I've disappointed him, that's the look I'm going to get. It's just going to be that look of, "Oh, I set you up better than this. And you knew better than this. And this is all I get." That's a different chastening than, "Hey, let me go ahead and grab the rod and we're going to go ahead and take you out to the woodshed and we're going to take care of this." There's a difference. When you know you've disappointed mom, there's a whole different set of feeling. There's a whole different set of failure feeling. There's a whole lot of, you know, it's harder to rebel against that look than it is to rebel against a rod. I don't know about, I'm stubborn. I don't know if anybody knew that about me. I'm a little stubborn. Slightly. Just a little. Right, Jude? Just a little. Yeah, just a little. See? And so you know what? You can go ahead and you can bow up against that rod coming down. You can fight to not give in to what that is. But for some reason, the look that God has allowed a lady to give to their child is virtually unstoppable. and you go, I just don't want that. You know, to disappoint dad is one thing. To disappoint mom is another level. I think it takes more to disappoint mom than it does to disappoint dad. Maybe it's different for you. I don't know. But I know for me, disappointing dad was pretty easy. Just don't do what I was told one time, and I've disappointed him. It took far more to go ahead and disappoint mom. You know, I think that's why that look is so devastating. Oh, her use of the rod wasn't quite as hard, and it didn't hurt as much as if dad brought the rod. And you know, it wasn't so painful if she's the one swinging, and it wasn't so bad if she was the one punishing. And when dad got loud and used his dad voice, I've been told that I scare the children now at church, because I don't yell at your kids. I yell at my kids so that all the other kids hear that I'm yelling at my kids. Anyway, that way they respond to the, oh, okay, that means we're all too crazy if he's yelling at his kids. See, that's how that works. I know how that works. So then they all pay attention. Okay, what are we doing? And hopefully, you know, it gets ringleader Sammy's attention. He'll calm them all down for me, amen? And just in case. And so I holler, and they go, man, you got the dad voice down now. Like, you're right there. It's good to go. You've got everybody scared to death. As soon as you say Uriah's name or Elijah's name real loud, it's all taken care of. That is different than if mom yells their name, right? Not quite the same fear that comes about. But then that look brings about a whole different fear than any look I could give. See, the chastening may be different, but the chastening still exists. And it needs to exist. Moms, you can't take it easy on your little boys. The world won't take it easy on them. It won't. And you have all seen the kid at Walmart or whatever grocery store or whatever that is completely unruly. And some of that's the dad, but some of it's probably the mom. Because you know what she won't do? She won't bring any chastening. And so they're at the store and they're a wild animal because they're with mom. And if dad was there, they wouldn't do it. But mom's there, and dad's not around today. So today, I get to be crazy. Moms, you need to chasten. And it's sometimes more than just the look. It may be different, but you better bring some chastening. Because you're the light. The counsel you give, the things you allow and the things you don't allow, those are the things that they'll remember. What's acceptable and what's not. The chastening of a mom. Lastly, Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah chapter 66, last one. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 12, "For thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall ye suck, ye shall be borne upon her sides, and be dandled upon her knees, and one as one whom his mother comforteth. So will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem." A mother's comfort. A mother's comfort. Her compassion is amazing as she reaches down and condescends to that spot to get them to see that she cares about them. But the comfort that she brings is unparalleled. You know, Mayla likes me now. She still won't choose me, but she does like me. We get along now. She doesn't just cry 13 seconds after I have her, right? And so Mayla will come to me, but she doesn't want me. Not overall. She's growing a little bit, you know. I'm winning her over a little bit, you know. But if mom's anywhere in sight, you know what she wants? She wants mom. Parents, you all know the same story. Why? Because that's the most comforting place they can be. As a child, that's where they're fed. That's where they're pulled in and protected. That's where everything is taken care of. That's the contact that they have. That's the place where they have been for the last 9.5 months. That's where everything, that is all about mom. Because the connection there is different and the comfort they give is different. And you know what God wants? He wants to be the God of all comfort to you. Amen. You say, what trouble am I in? Doesn't matter. He can comfort in any trouble. Well, you know, you just don't understand. Yeah, he understands. Well, yeah, but you've never... Yeah, but he does. He's got it. And on top of that, you know what he wants? He wants to take all your troubles and all your trials and all your problems and everything you can think of, he wants to take, and you can cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And when you do that, you know what he'll be? He'll be the God of all comfort. You know, nobody can comfort you like he can. Amen. You can go ahead and you can try and confide in the people in the world, and you can go ahead and run to them, and you can go ahead and try and talk to somebody else, but there's nothing like getting on your face and just being like, God, I don't know what to do. God, I'm out of options. God, this is too much for me. God, I can't handle any of this. God, what do I do? And he just reaches down. Says, don't worry. Everything's all right. I got a plan. I'm never without a plan. I'm God. So I've got you. But for right now, how about you just cry on me? Never been there? Where you just sit there and you don't have anything to say? There's nothing else you can do. And everything else has gone wrong. And so you just say, God, I don't know. And you just sit there and cry. Nobody else around. Nobody else hears you. Just you and the Lord. God, I've never been so scared in all my life. What am I going to do? God, I don't know. God, this is a lion's den. What am I going to do? Lord, they're putting me in a fiery furnace. What am I going to do? Lord, this storm is bringing down this ship. We're throwing everything off. What am I going to do? Lord, he says, well, fear not. Isn't that amazing? God's reply to all of our troubles always seems to be, fear not. Don't worry about it. Why are you so fearful? You go, because I'm not in control. He says, yeah, but you're with me. I'm in control. What's more comforting than knowing the one who's in control? What a comfort he is to us. And if you're in here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, it'll sound strange, but Jesus Christ, you know what he wants to be? He wants to be your father and mother. Because he'll take care of all of it. Amen. Say, well, my mom wasn't very good, and I don't know if I can trust him. You can trust Jesus. If nothing else, you can trust him. He's got it. And he's ready to save to the uttermost all them that come to God by him. For he ever liveth to make intercession for them. And if you want salvation this morning, you don't know that Jesus Christ is your Savior. He died for your sins. The all-compassionate Savior gave His life because He cared to protect you. And His counsel is, come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Because He doesn't want to chasten you, He wants to bring you home and be the God of all comfort to you. That's who He is. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, today's the day of salvation. It's now. You can have it. It's a free gift, and God is offering it to you. He wants you to have it. He's not holding it back like you can't. And He's not waiting for you to do anything special. He's waiting for you just to receive that gift and take it. Say, God, I know. You died for me. I'm a sinner. I deserve hell. But Jesus died for me, and I want to take that salvation. Save me today. Moms, if you're in here today, that's a hard line to live up to. But that's the line we all live up to. Aren't you and I supposed to be like Jesus Christ? Impossible line. Right? We're hoping to make it to that line. So mom, don't get discouraged because you don't live up to the line. All right? That's not what that was for. It's to help you see how wonderful God is. Amen. And that you're just trying to be like Him. And the characteristics that a mom has, the Lord has those toward us. And moms, if you're in here today, that's what you're striving to be. We're striving, you know, the goal is to be just like Him. Moms, that's your role right there, to be just like Him as a mom to your children. To those you get to minister to and those you get to help, whether they're your kids, your grandkids, your great-grandkids, your cousins, your nephews, your nieces, your whatever they are, and you're reaching to them, you know what you get to be? You get to be this to them. Show them that you love them. Show them you care. Say, yeah, but I'm not perfect. Only the Lord's perfect. And what do we get to do? Just strive for the mastery. Amen. Strive to be the best we can be. You say, well, my mom and my dad weren't that great, and my family was a mess. And that. Okay, you got a new mom and a new dad. The Lord took you up. So don't think about being like the last ones. Don't think about those old mom and dad. Go ahead and think about the new one. Say, I want to be just like mom. Isn't that amazing? I want to be just like my new parent. Because he always takes care of me. Let's go ahead and stand this morning. I'll tell you this. Then we'll sing. If you're in here and you're saved, I would hate to stand before the Lord and see that look. I'd hate to see that one right there. And just, what a disappointment I was to Him. Christian, I hope you're doing something. I hope your mom on this earth is looking at you with joy. John says, there's no greater joy than to know my children walk in the truth. Christian, I hope you're walking with Him. I hope not only is your earthly mom happy, I hope your heavenly one is. And you're walking with Him. Father, I do pray You would bless the invitation, strengthen and help us today. But I thank You for the moms that are here today. Come in, I pray You just help this to be an encouragement to them, Lord. They're, Lord, working with imperfect children, trying to serve a perfect Savior. So, Father, bless them today especially. We love You, and I do pray You would. Bless the invitation now in Jesus' name.